Who with it now? Pride of Detroit podcast, PODcast, is where it's at. It's coming at your face. It's coming through your ears, right into you. It's Lions football from Pride of Detroit. PrideofDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter. You know the name. It's Pride of Detroit. You find this on Facebook, too. Why not? I'm Chris Lemieux, at Adequate Host, and we are playoffs, baby.
Playoffs, player, turn up.
We are the playoffs. We are the embodiment of the playoffs.
We are in the playoffs. The spirit of Detroit has, right now we are recording on Monday afternoon, the spirit of Detroit was just given a very large jersey. I don't know where they find his size, but he is now decked out. He's ready for the playoffs too. That voice right there, that's Ryan Mack. Black is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan underscore POD, Ryan, editor at Pride of Detroit. How are you?
I'm doing well. I think they get that jersey at Casual Mail XL.
DXL?
I think they just grabbed it from A'shaun Robinson.
They might.
Grown-ass man.
Grown-ass man. That voice right there, that's Jeremy Reisman at Detroit Online, managing editor, fearless leader. So we got the crew back in here again. Alex Reno, once again. The Lions lost, so he has skulked back into the ether. So he's busy doing real stuff.
The Lions lost? I thought they're in the playoffs. That's all that matters, right?
No, all that matters is that they lost and thus that they suck and that there's no reason for them to be in the playoffs. They backed in. They don't deserve to be there. Anger, anger, rage, rage. I have no soul. I have no joy. I have, like, what, can I be honest? What else are Detroit sports fans pining for? That they're just in this SOL mood already, yearning for the Lions season to be over. So what? They can watch the Red Wings suck?
The Pistons fall apart in front of your eyes?
Yeah, like wait for pitchers and catchers to report to Lakeland.
Well, they wanted all the Tigers traded, too.
You want to watch Michigan get their ass kicked again?
Whoa!
Oh, okay.
Ass kicking is a huge overstatement. You clearly didn't watch that game. And that
no, I did. It's actually one of the better bowl games out there. Although right now I see Western Michigan's trying to hang tough with Wisconsin, so row that damn boat, boys.
Well, I'll say it since nobody said it. You can watch Michigan State basketball flail into irrelevance.
not a auspicious start, not an auspicious end for 2016 for Detroit sports. Not a good beginning, but Lions are in the playoffs, but if you were out here listening to maybe 97.1 The Fan or our Twitter feeds last night, you would be very surprised to think that the Lions were actually in the playoffs because it sure didn't look like it.
Well, I mean, it's because they have quote unquote no chance to beat Seattle, right?
No chance to beat anyone. No chance to beat the St. Jude's High School of Disabled Children.
We want Bama.
We want I don't understand this. Okay, the game sucked last night. You lost the division. You fell apart, and I think once again, why people are mad about this game. You remember last week I said people were mad about the Cowboys game, even though you were supposed, like, you knew you were supposed to lose that game? People got mad because you showed life, and thus you thought you had a chance being in that game? Kind of the same deal here, maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's that whole game was kind of like a microcosm of the season, right? Like, the Lions, I mean, I wouldn't say they got off to a hot start necessarily, but the middle of that game, they played really well. They went in with a 14-10 lead. That last field goal at the end of the half was pretty annoying, but whatever. And then they fell apart at the end. You know, they blow a big lead. And to do it against the Packers is frustrating. It's the last team that you want to see go home with whatever, like, their fifth division title in 6 years. And to me, that's what hurts more. the fact that the Packers won the division rather than the Lions lost it, that hurts to me more, because the Lions are in the playoffs, and it's a whole new season, and anything can happen. But the Packers won the division, and then we have to sit there and watch Rodgers put on his fucking championship belt. That's frustrating. That's hard to watch. That gets you mad. I understand all of that.
Ryan, you were very mad last night.
Yeah, I was mildly upset, but
mildly.
You know. Well, you know, there's an easy way to get around watching Rodgers, you know, put on championship belts and hats and everything as you turn off the television. And you stare at your empty glass that your meemaw bought you. New Lions glasses she got you for Christmas that you're going to go shatter on Facebook Live later this week because they're obviously cursed. Sorry, meemaw. I love you, but those have to be destroyed. It's the way in which they lost, right? Because it was the Aaron Rodgers show. Like, you know, just tough. But, hey, everybody's 0-0 right now. The whole new season.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't understand why as many people, because, I mean, I couldn't just turn it off because I had to go and deal with the Facebook Live immediately after. And there were a lot of people coming in who just wanted to post, like, whole paragraphs of why they were upset. And people tried to pull the, well, I've been a diehard fan for 30 years card. You can't be both. Homie. Can't. But I totally get it, too. I was saying foul things about Aaron Rodgers. I was saying, like, I was just talking with my dad today, too, like, to me, the play that most summarized just how frustrating it is to play Aaron Rodgers. Remember, Ezekiel Ansah had him dead to rights. He leaped. It looked like he was going to make a leaping sack on Aaron Rodgers. The drive's over. It's dead. It's done, right? No, Aaron Rodgers somehow climbs out from beneath that and still gets the ball airborne and to a receiver. There's no hope against that. There isn't.
That's what he does, and to me, it was a very similar play. It was, I think, his last touchdown throw, kind of the nail in the coffin there, where he escapes the pocket. Like, the Lions kind of have him contained, but he knows exactly where he can buy himself 2, 3, 4 more seconds, and even the Lions' coverage was good on that play, and Rodgers throws a dart in the end zone for a touchdown. Puts the Packers up by 2 possessions, and that's basically the game. But, like, that's the thing that makes Rodgers so admirable as a football player, but makes him so, so frustrating as a rival. Because, you know, you can have the perfect defense. You can have him squared up for a sack, but he's not done until he's down on the ground. And he does it better than anyone in the league. Really
I want
does.
Out of the NFC North. I just want out of the NFC North. I don't want to see this asshole twice a year. I really don't.
And it's funny because as we're recording this, the NFL's Twitter account retweeted a Packers tweet of Aaron Rodgers leaned back in his locker with his big shitting grin on his face that says leaders of the pack. It just brings back all the anger. Hey,
don't tell me this.
We need this to be an emotional podcast because it was an emotional game. We can't just sit back here.
No, I don't want to revisit those emotions. I don't want to revisit those emotions, please.
Let's air them out. Air out our grievances a little late. And then we'll move on to the Seahawks in a later segment, but We have to confront this anger because otherwise it'll stew and then it'll bubble right back up if the Lions lose to the Seahawks.
I released my anger last night in private with people I trust with my anger.
Not all of us got the opportunity to rant on our fan base on a Facebook Live last night.
No, I wasn't even talking about the Facebook Live. I was talking about our Slack room.
Oh.
You saw my Facebook Live. I did not unleash any of my fury on Facebook Live. I don't want to because sports are supposed to be fun and they're supposed to be silly. And there is just, again, like...
But sports are serious. With an R, not A-R-E. Sports are serious.
Are serious. Okay. Ryan, please help me out here. I don't want to be mad about this.
Well, you know, the only way you cannot be mad about it is if you don't dwell on it and you look towards the future.
I'm not mad, TM.
All right, well, let's get into, like, the actual game a little bit, if we can, here.
What's that line there? Hold up, I need to remind myself here to drop in my favorite line from a Jim Harbaugh commercial.
Nobody's tackling anybody!
Just the defense, like, bad enough that Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, but, like, it's like he had a force field sometimes. Like, I would see guys just look like they were going to just crush Zach Zinner's skull when he's running. And, you know, some of these guys hit Marvin Jones so incredibly hard. But then when Aaron Rodgers is running down the sideline or Ty Montgomery is running, it just looks like everyone's afraid to touch them because they're going to get a flag thrown on them or something.
The tackling was not up to snuff last night. There were a lot of missed tackles. There were a lot of opportunities that the Lions, like you said, had the Packers dead to rights. And for whatever reason, it was just a problem of wrapping up. I mean, there was a Tavon Wilson shoulder tackle that was, it was just hard to watch. It really compounded all the problems that the Lions were having. I mean, it was bad enough that, you know, Rodgers has this incredible escapability in the pocket, but then once he gets it off to a receiver, you can't bring him down. I mean, it was just like one problem on top of the next. And
Don Carey especially got manhandled.
Poor Don Carey. I feel bad because that's not Don Carey's role. Like, he was not expecting to play that much football, like, when he signed his contract extension midseason. Like, he was expecting to be, you know, special teams extraordinaire, him and Johnson Batamosi, you know, teaming up to be the best two gunners in the entire league, and all of a sudden, hey, play nickel corner.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even his position. He's a safety.
I know, it's the toughest position to play on defense. I stand by it, and I'll always say it. And the fact that they thrust him into the most difficult position on all the defense, damn, I mean, what do you expect from him? Like, don't pile on him. That's not his fault. It's like showing up to work, like, you're ready to, like, be the hostess at a restaurant, and they're like, nope, you're the head chef.
And I think you have a point, both of you, talking about the missed opportunities on defense, because I think they really played the kind of game that they like to play, and that they force out long, prolonged possessions, hoping that the offense makes a mistake on third down or you know, throws an interception or whatever they do, or they settle for field goals. But the Lions weren't great in the red zone. They were horrible on third down. Green Bay was 7-13. And you just saw, like, you kept waiting in the second half for the defense to make that one play, whether it was that 3rd and 10 that eventually became the too many med, which eventually came a first down conversion, or
bullshit. You know, by the way, fuck that. Fuck that. I'm sorry. Like, that, what is that 12th man doing? Like, I'm not mad at the Lions for that, but I'm just mad because you saw Aaron, like, they pointed it out and it's like, oh, that's so smart of Aaron Rodgers to get it off. What the fuck is that 12th man going to do to impact that play? He's obviously on his way off the field. He was just a little slow. Why is that a penalty?
I've rallied against that rule for at least a year for that exact same reason. It's inane, and give Rodgers credit. Like, he obviously knows that rule.
No, I don't even give it any fucking credit. No, I don't.
Why? He's playing within the rules.
Because I hate
him. This is the NFL's fault.
you see, this is why I'm holding it back, because I'm fucking mad at Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but right. your hate's not directed in the right way.
It doesn't
matter. Take it higher up. It's on Goodell.
It doesn't matter.
Hey, I mean,
the avatar of all my anger.
Well, hey, you want to be mad at Aaron Rodgers some more? That should have been a legal motion on that play when he was moving towards the line of scrimmage and the ball got snapped.
God
so.
Damn.
But instead, what? Chris Collinsworth calls it the best play of the game by Rodgers.
Shit, Chris Collinsworth.
I like Chris Collinsworth.
I do too.
Just to be clear, but when we're playing the Packers, I do not like Chris Collinsworth.
can we get back? This is why I was trying to keep this analytical, because I am not going to be able to contain it. It's going to be like the Cowboys playoff game, where I'm just spewing rage at everything I see. Like,
hey,
you can't control me when I get mad. So please, let's, like, okay, back to what we were talking about.
Well, yeah.
Missed chances on defense. No, go ahead, Ryan.
Missed chances on defense. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers a little bit more, because he had the perfect game. Like, he had the perfect game. 27-39, 300 yards, 4 touchdowns. He ran the ball more than anybody else on the team, any of their running backs. He ran the ball 10 times for 42 yards. And those 42 yards were some of the most backbreaking yards. Like, they were the important gains. They were the drive extenders. They were... He literally just played the perfect game, and the Lions defense...
Like, he turned Josh Bynes around like he was fucking Barry Sanders.
I know. That shouldn't happen.
Like, it shouldn't.
That shouldn't be happening. And, you know, it... Like all of the worst fears were confirmed last night. Like, that was kind of like the show of, like, what's wrong with the Lions, and it's their defense. Like, you fault their offense for, you know, what it was or what it is. I mean, they're relying on Zach Zenner so much to contribute, and they just couldn't sustain any drives, you know, especially in what Chris has come to label as the third quarter. But...
Yep. Well, I noticed this... Oh, sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
Well, I noticed this too, and it's kind of what I wanted to say when Jeremy way back was talking about how the Lions like to play their games from the offensive side, where they get the lead and then milk the clock. I saw the Packers do the same damn thing. They understood what the Lions were doing. They just did it better because they could get the lead and then just throttle you.
And I mean, like, they have a better running game because... I think a common narrative, and even I fell victim to this right after the game, was that the Lions abandoned the run in the second half. And that's only partially true. I did a little research on this. The Lions only had the ball for 8 offensive snaps in the third quarter. 8. They played 8 offensive snaps in the third quarter because the Packers held onto the ball for over 10 minutes of 15.
And I'll just say this in closing on my thoughts as far as the offense, because I don't, like, I think you guys covered everything about the offense, but I know Zach Zenner had a good game, but at the same time, too, some of the play calling is still weird, and there's no reason to run a draw play on second and 15.
It was second and long, yeah.
Second and long. There's no reason to run a draw play and then run a slant route that ends up being short. You could have done that. You don't need to do that on third down. You can do that on second down, Jim Bob. You can do it there. Like, just the pacing of the play calling when you get in long has just been baffling to me. It's just not efficient.
They're not a team that can do that, though. I mean, they're not a team that can come back from second and third and longs. Like, a holding penalty will derail this offense because they're so short yardage minded, you know?
But they're not even, but what I'm saying is, like, they're not even making the short yardage passes in downs that matter.
I don't know, I guess, but, like, the draw play, I get the idea behind it, but the truth is, that's not the Lions' strength in the running game. It's just straightforward, pound the ball. Any sort of delay, any sort of misdirection hasn't worked for this offense. It just hasn't. And so I agree that a second and long draw doesn't make sense given this personnel, but I understand it schematically in a way.
You guys ready to move on and talk about the playoffs?
Please.
All right, let's just get out of here before I again lose my mind thinking about Aaron Rodgers. He is the bane of my existence in every which way, and... I will yearn for the day that the Lions are somehow moved out of the NFC North. But for now, playoffs. We're going to talk about them because we need to fill up this podcast somehow. All right, we are in the playoffs. We're good to go, and I'm ready.
Let's go.
Can we need to address at least a few things here before we really get started. And I think that is just the way you would not expect the Lions are actually in the playoffs the way people are talking.
Well, Chris, that's because they backed in.
Can we talk about that? Just like I don't understand. Like, I kind of understand some of the fans being mad about it, but at the same time, again, like, you're in the playoffs. I understand why a division title means a little bit, but at the same time, like what happens if you... what happens if the Lions, say, won that game, they got their division title, and then they immediately lost against the Giants? Like,
I think it'd be fine. I think a lot of the Lions fans would be fine with it because A, they would be okay. Like, say they go out, say they went out and got embarrassed by the Giants at Ford Field. They would be excited twofold. They would have been excited they got their banner for their NFC North Championship, and then they would have been excited. But then they would have been excited the fact that they went out and got embarrassed at Ford Field because that would have meant that Jim Caldwell's ass was gone.
That's what I'm going to say. I mean, like, he'll be back here yelling and screaming about how you need to clear house and fire Jim Caldwell. Like, there's no way to make people happy on this.
There's no way to make people happy because at Big Slick McDick said, this team has changed an awful lot since 2008, but the one thing that hasn't changed are the fans, and they're never going to change.
What? I don't...
The fan base is definitely in a place where they need to see postseason results, or they won't change.
But I mean, this is what I was thinking because, like, someone said to me, like, when the Lions going to win a big game, and I'm just like, they won on Thanksgiving in a game that pretty much decided, like, if they would win the division over the Vikings, and it's like. But I think you say they need to have some postseason success. I what I see happening is they win that one playoff game, and then the goalpost immediately moves.
Oh, sure. And I talked a little bit about this on Twitter. Like, that's the thing. We are starting to move those goalposts. It was, geez, we can't even contend for the division. Geez, we can never even make the playoffs. Now it's, we're always going one and done. And okay, that's happened 2 years. Let's give them a chance this year. Maybe they aren't one and done, and then you can't say that. And then you'll say, oh, well, I guess we're okay with, you know, losing in the divisional round. I want this team to be a, you know, Super Bowl contender. It's like, listen, no team contends for the Super Bowl every year. You get into the playoffs, that's contending for the Super Bowl. That's what that looks like.
Yeah,
you're among the 12 best teams.
To get, though, into a bit of realism and talking about the Lions in the playoffs, I don't like the chances of this team.
If we're talking grand scope of things, yeah, okay.
I'm sorry. Just to transition us into actually talking about this. I don't... Sure. That, like, anything can happen, absolutely. That said, I don't like their chances right now for doing anything. Like, I think Seattle's probably the best matchup they've got, though. They could get.
I completely agree with everything there. I don't expect this team to make a Super Bowl run. I think the second halves of the game in Dallas and Green Bay aren't necessarily the result of bad coaching adjustments, but more of, like, you know, you see in college games all the time, like, the big underdogs come out swinging, and they'll be tied with Ohio State after a quarter, or if you're Clemson, you know, shut them out, whatever. But you know, then the home team or the favorite kind of settles in, gets going and starts rolling. And so I think in the cases of the Cowboys and probably the Packers, those are just the better teams kind of settling in. But I said this before the game, if I were to choose the Seahawks or the Giants on a neutral field, I would have chosen the Seahawks to be the Lions' first round opponent. Their defense is not at all what they used to be. Giants' defense is much better. And I would probably put the offenses of those two teams on an equal level. I don't really see any playmakers on offense on the Seahawks right now. Do you guys see anyone that you're scared of on offense outside of Russell Wilson?
Doug Baldwin's pretty good. I think he's established himself as a number one receiver, so I think it's really important that Darius Slay's healthy. So they don't have much in the semblance of a running game, I don't think. I mean, Thomas Rawls, I don't know where his health is at. I know CJ Procise was put on IR, I think, at some point. They're struggling in terms of running the football, but I think where the Lions match up the best with them is their offensive line is just, it's not very good. And that's been the problem with them all year long. So, if you want to look at any teams that the Lions had success against this year, I mean, they had a lot of success against Minnesota and their offensive line was pretty bad too. So I'm not trying to equate one to the other, but
I don't necessarily care about how the Lions' defense matches up against their offense, because we've seen this before. I more care about how the Lions' offense matches up against the defense. By DVOA, the Giants were 2 overall in defense. Seattle's 4.
But they're only trending down, too.
It is trending down. Like, you can see that absolutely if you just watched how they played against, like, the 49ers, who are ass.
Or against Arizona at home, where Arizona, they got tagged and lost.
Yeah, and I mean, they were already, like, down in the pass defense ranking, too. So, and I mean, they do have Richard Sherman, but again, as I, like, the nice thing about this team is that it's flexible, so you're not having a number one being removed by Richard Sherman. He wants to cover Marvin Jones, is fine, throw it to Golden Tate, vice versa. So, like, I kind of like it in that way. Of course, the equalizer is going to be in Seattle.
I mean, a lot of people are scared of CenturyLink Field, but, I mean, hey, an Arizona team that isn't very good, I know it's a divisional game, but they went in a couple weeks ago and they beat Seattle on their home field. And, yeah. You know, I mean, if it wasn't for a second half miraculous comeback by the Seahawks, then that wouldn't have even been a close game because Arizona was giving it to them. And I know Arizona's not Detroit, but I'm just saying that CenturyLink Field, it's a nice thing to have, but like Jeremy was saying, the defense is trending down. I mean, they're missing, I would say, their most important piece on defense, and that's Earl Thomas.
And they're 3-3 in their past six games, and those wins came against the Niners, the Rams, and I don't remember the other one, but I mean, this team just hasn't looked impressive in the last stretch of the season, and obviously you can say that exact same thing for the Lions, but at least the Lions lost and were competitive for at least a half in each of their last three games, and they were playing the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Packers, three playoff teams.
And by the way, they've been missing Travis Swanson for all of those games, and in this game, Riley Reiff as well. So,
yes, and I'm like, maybe I'm being optimistic. It's early in the week, but I think they get both those guys back this week. I think Travis Swanson was pretty close, and Riley Reiff went through pregame warm-ups, so I would expect, at the very least, him to be back.
And I think Slay is probably still playing, too. Again, like I think you'll look pretty healthy other than the guys you have on IR.
and whoever is playing at nickel corner, because Asa Jackson is not going to play again. he was in crutches after the game, so he is out.
Yeah. Think we maybe get Abdullah back, or is that still far-fetched?
It's hanging in the back of my mind, but I'm not letting myself believe it's a realistic possibility.
I mean, you look pretty good with Zenner right now, but still, if you had Abdullah and Zenner as 1-2, that would look pretty
good. Well, yeah, because that's where Zenner belongs, let's be honest. Zenner is never going to be a number one back, because he'll never give you that explosive play, ever.
Yes, like, aside from looking like how every time he gets tackled, it looks like he's about to get concussed. And every time he's finished with a run for like 6 yards, he looks unbelievably winded.
You know, what I do like about Zenner, though, is his vision. Like, I feel like he does a really good job of at least, like, trying to see the play to its end, or trying to, like, have the play do what it's supposed to do. Like, he does a really good job of hitting the holes. And, I mean, as evidence, like, when he scored that touchdown against Green Bay, he just sliced through like it was butter. And I think he does a really good job of doing that. And that's why you see Dwayne Washington not getting any time in the backfield. Which is kind of interesting, because Jim Bob Cooter said earlier in the week, and I saw Mikey brought this up, but Jim Bob Cooter said that there wasn't going to be a running back who took all of the snaps at running back, and there actually was, and it was Zenner last night. I mean, Washington received no reps at running back, so it shows you where the team is right now with that situation.
So, yeah, like, I mean, the Zenner experience, the ZZ experience. I don't think, again, like, there's many places to go far with this team. I think we all agree, like, this was a rebuilding that kind of peaked very early in thanks because Stafford played out of his mind for the first 12 games of the season.
Speaking of which, I know this is kind of going off topic a little bit, but do you guys buy that his decline, quote-unquote decline, over the past four games has anything to do with his finger?
No, I think they played better teams.
I think it has a lot more to do with the offensive line. He's just getting, like, someone put up that stat during last night. I think he's been getting, like, under 2 seconds to throw the ball, average. Like, 1.8 seconds to throw the ball.
Yeah.
Like, that matters. Like, he's still getting it home in many cases, but when you're getting just your pocket collapsing near immediately, like, you are going to eventually just make some bad decisions.
Yeah, I'm actually with you guys 100% because this is an interesting thing that popped up because I'm not noticing any difference in Stafford's throws. People are pointing like, oh, he missed Golden Tate on that deep throw. Like, that's Stafford. Like, he misses throws a lot. He always does that.
He still put a ball through, like, a tight window in triple coverage during that game.
And he also dropped two dimes. One with a... I don't remember who it was on the Packers. In his face, he took a big shot, laid a perfect ball in, and then he laid it, that teardrop to TJ Jones along the sidelines. That was a sick pass. I don't see any difference in his game, honestly. Sure, the stats aren't quite there, but like Ryan was saying, you're playing the Giants defense, which is a very, very tough assignment. Maybe the Packers and the Cowboys don't have as good a secondary, but they do both have a pass rush. And like you were saying, pass rush can disrupt a lot of things in the passing game. So
the play calling has also been very weird, I think, without Theo Riddick, because I think what happens is because I think I finally pieced it together because I'm thinking like, okay, why are we doing all these weird things? I think it's because you're supposed to have that option that Riddick can either run the ball or catch it. And that's not there. So that's kind of taking away some of the dynamism of this offense.
Yeah.
Like it's just kind of,
That kind of brings me to another point that I don't think a lot of people have been talking about lately, is that the wide receivers are just not carrying the load right now. Their stats were good last night, but they're not getting any separation, and that's one thing you could rely on Theo Riddick for, is getting separation on a linebacker, being that guy that Stafford can check down to, because he's going to have some linebacker clutching his ankles after throwing a juke on the inside. So, I think that... That's a great point, too, Chris. I think that Stafford's missing one of his best options in the passing game, and it's starting to show.
Just between that and the offensive line, I think this has been, the injuries have been more a story. Like, people keep wanting to talk about Darius Slay, but I think the injuries on the offense have been a story that people have just kind of ignored when talking about how this team's kind of fallen apart quite a bit. So, but... I don't know. We're going to do a first bite this week with someone from Field Goals, I think. So we're going to try to talk about them a little more in a dedicated preview show. I'm sorry, my timeline's exploding because Corey Davis from Western Michigan apparently just caught a bomb and row the boat is now on. So
it was a fourth down play from the red zone, and he like manhandled the cornerback and took the ball away from him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Still a touchdown deficit there, but I don't know why we're doing live updates on a podcast that comes out on Tuesday. We do this all the time, and it's probably the worst thing we can do. Okay. Ryan, any more final thoughts just as far as like this team or looking at the playoffs?
Can we just go back to kind of like my feelings about the season, like,
sure,
as we were going along in the regular season, it was just enjoy the ride. Like, you're in the playoffs now, just be happy that you're there and you get to watch some extra football that you care about. Like, be happy that you're watching the Lions play playoff football in January.
Imagine eight years ago, what we had then, and now we are talking about 3 out of the last 6 years being in the playoffs, and 2 of them with the same coach. I'm just saying, for people who want to keep firing Jim Caldwell, he's made the playoffs twice now.
I don't understand the people who take that for granted. Like, considering where this entire fan base was during the 2000 and aughts, like, we went a whole decade without sniffing the playoffs, and we've gotten there 2 out of 3 years. I know people say, like, you should expect more out of your team than just playoff appearances, and I get that. But let's give Caldwell some time. In his first 3 years, he gets to the playoffs twice. We're not in a Marvin Lewis type of situation right now. This isn't 10, 15 years of mediocre football. This is above-average football with probably a below-average roster, and we're in the playoffs now.
This is a very bad roster. People need to get that in their heads. This is not a good roster. And I think Caldwell he's not a stellar coach, but you can do a lot worse than him.
Yep.
And as I think, did we point this out last time? I cut this out if we need to. Did we point this out earlier in the podcast that the Chargers have already requested an interview with Matt Patricia?
I think that was before.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's going to be those Patricia McDaniels, the guys you probably want at home, those vaunted Patriots coordinators you all fawn over because they're the only names you know, they're going to be hot commodities out there.
And they're what? There's six openings now? Right now?
Yeah. I think you just hope Terrell Austin maybe gets a gig somewhere else. That's the one problem. I don't see Caldwell like getting rid of him and trying to shake up the defense. That's the one knock on Caldwell I have right now, because it took a lot for him to get rid of Lombardi. I don't see him making the playoffs and deciding, well, I need to get rid of Terrell Austin now because this defense is definitely trending downwards.
Yeah. Well, I one last thing to say is, you know, you talked about it, Chris. This team is better than it was last year. And I think that the changes that have been made have been through the draft. They've been through free agency. They've been changes that Bob Quinn's made. So be happy with that. Be happy with the fact that you're in the playoffs when you probably shouldn't be.
I mean, they're getting production from young guys and they're in the playoffs. Like, I don't know what else you can be happy about if you're not happy about that.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break here. We're going to come back in a second here. I don't know what we're going to do next, but we'll come back and we'll do something fun and we'll start gearing up to get your mailbag questions in. Okay, moving along here on the Pride of Detroit podcast. I don't really know what we thought about doing Rage Corner. We realize we have probably raged ourselves out, and once again, I'm trying to avoid being angry with more things. We have no Wally's World story. Listcast.
It sounds like getting rid of anger in your life is one of your resolutions.
Yeah. Hey, it is kind of, it's not a resolution for me, but maybe we can make this about resolutions. It's a new year. It's a new you. It's new Lions. So I think that's where we're going to start. We're going to talk about... I'm sorry, I'm breaking that resolution about anger already because I see Fox Sports retweeted Rick Snyder about Western Michigan. So now I'm really angry. Right, resolutions. So what okay, Jeremy, this is kind of your baby. You're the one who brought this up originally. So like how are you envisioning this? Resolutions of what?
I don't know. I think I have a personal one for me and the website, and then maybe one for the Lions that maybe the Lions should have.
Okay, we can do that. Yeah. It is a new year. It is right, resolutions. I'm sorry. I'm fading here a little bit, so we're gonna have to get this rolling along. So we want to have some resolutions about the site and about the Lions. So why don't you take it away and I'll see if I can follow along with it. Maybe I might have my own.
All right. I guess my resolution for the site this year is to kind of join the ranks of the other beat writers and their sites, in that I want it to be a little more respected professionally. So in that sense, I think I'm going to try to turn away from the emotional stuff that comes out of both the Twitter feed and maybe some early reaction articles to games and stuff. Not that I don't want sports to be fun, because they need to be fun, and I'm still going to do some of the silly stuff. I'm never going to give up the name bracket tournament. I'm never going to give up the fan fiction articles, because that's fun for me. But I think we have a really good chance to make a big step in this site's progression this year, and I want to see it happen.
This was a mistake to let you have this segment.
Why is that?
Because you're basically saying we're not going to do fun. No more fun. It's the no fun league.
Did you not hear the second half of that caveat?
Well, now you're like, well, we must be professional on the Twitter. No. Well, what's professional about Twitter?
That's a fair point, but
no.
I just,
Twitter's for harassing journalists.
No,
and I
want
to continue to do it.
No, it's not. Don't listen to him, folks.
Dude, my resolution is get blocked by a lot more people this year. So I don't know what you got.
Don't harass your journalists, kids.
I am. I already got blocked by one.
If you're angry about the team, take it out on @Lions. Don't take it out on players. Don't take it out on the journalists. Just go @Lions. All right, they're not gonna hear you, and neither is anyone else going to, and
See, I don't like this because now you're talking about you're trying to step up above the masses. Me as a creature who just lives in the swamp, like you're talking about like trying to be above everyone else here. You're trying to put on this veneer of professionalism. I'm down here with the losers. Where are you going?
I'm part of the liberal Jewish elite media.
The mensch on a bench.
Mensch on a pedestal. That's me.
That doesn't rhyme. What are you, Skip Bayless?
Oh, God.
We're getting into some dark places. So
Zach, the freak.
I hope no one that you're appealing to with this professionalism push is listening here.
I think what just happened, what just transpired on the podcast shows that I will not be able to complete resolution.
Like all New Year's resolutions, it will fall short.
Yep.
All right, what was the one you had for the Lions?
I don't know. I was gonna wait for you guys to throw in some and then think of one.
I have my New Year's resolution.
Go ahead.
My New Year's resolution is to eat less Butterfingers this year, because the last time I went to the dentist, I had 4 cavities, and I clearly need to cut some things out of my diet. One of them is definitely Butterfingers, so... My personal New Year's resolution is less Butterfingers.
Your dentist probably found chunks of peanut butter still in your teeth, or I should say peanut butter flavored toffee or whatever the hell that shit is.
I was gonna say, don't insult Butterfingers eaters by saying that there's actual peanut butter in those things. There are orange crystals that get stuck in your teeth.
Or chocolate, for that matter. The coating is, quote, chocolatey. Not actual chocolate.
E.
Yeah, it says chocolatey. Even on the Wikipedia, it says chocolatey.
What else does it say about its sales in 2012?
I don't know, but I will say this. It's just like, remember when, what was it, Tyson, they decided to rework all their boneless chunks to like wings, W-Y-N-G-Z?
Yeah, those aren't chicken anymore.
Same thing with the chocolatey.
Fair enough. Chris, do you have a New Year's resolution?
Not really. Get 1,000 followers. Get 4 digits of followers on Twitter.
And get blocked by...
Get blocked by a few more people. Yeah, I got Eric Garland to block me last night. The guy who... it's time for some game theory guy. The guy who basically, like, he had like a manic breakdown after the election and was talking about, guys, it's time for some game theory, and put together like some Icon Has Cheeseburger rant about how the Russians are... have been spending 20 years making us distrust the CIA or something. It was very hard to follow along with. But,
Ooh, boy.
And I got blocked, so... I'm off to a great start.
Hitting that quota already.
I know. Look, so Twitter, if you can't harass journalists and people who are, like, brand managers and like, strategy consultants... who get paid five digits to basically talk about nothing, then what the hell is this platform for? It is the ultimate equalizer.
All right. If you want that negativity in your life...
I don't even know if it's negativity. It is a funnel for my negativity. It is a funnel to get it out of my life.
All right, I got one for the
also,
Lions.
I'm sorry, I've got one more. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, go.
Watch more Japanese wrestling.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Can I revoke giving you permission to talk about that?
We are all... Jeremy, I think the biggest reason you want the Lions to win on Saturday is because as soon as the season ends, you know what's happening with me, Ryan, Alex. It's back to Raw and SmackDown, baby.
Every Monday and Tuesday. No more Monday Night Football.
Can you hear the ratings of this podcast drop? Because I hear it.
Dude, we're on the road to WrestleMania.
We are.
Royal Rumble is coming.
Jeremy's seething right now.
It's okay. I'm in a great mood. I've dealt with so many joyous fans today. The next thing I want to deal with is wrestling.
This is the least of your concerns.
All right, but let me get out my Lions resolution.
Do it.
Okay, go ahead.
Get a motherfucking pass rusher, please. Can we please... Please get a pass rusher.
Okay, I know it's too early to talk about the draft, but, oh, like, okay, what, like, coming down the, like, first round up, you've got a pass rusher, a corner, and
a linebacker,
and I don't know, like, an offensive a guard or something. Like, who or in the running back, who are you, like, going for?
Highest priority is defensive end right now. I need a
over
pass
corner?
Rusher.
Over a cornerback?
Absolutely, because I'll go out and say this. I'm totally fine entering 2017 with Darius Slay and Evan Lawson as your 1 and 2.
I'm not.
Because defensive end, a good pass rusher, that can cover up so many deficiencies. You can come up, like, here's where the Lions are failing right now. They don't have any playmakers on defense. They aren't getting those plays that they were getting a little bit earlier in the season. You know, sacks can end drives. Strip sacks are huge momentum, not momentum changers. Let me rewind that. I didn't say momentum. you know, turnovers like that, strip sacks, huge in changing field position and you know, putting your team in a good position. And you get pressure on the quarterback, you're going to force mistakes. You're going to force interceptions. You're going to force guys like Darius Slay, who are usually in good position to make a play. You know, they'll have to force the quarterback into making a throw towards that coverage instead of, you know, looking elsewhere. So, give me a defensive end. Please make it the highest priority. Then linebacker. Then, I don't know, maybe a wide receiver. I honestly don't view cornerback as maybe even a top five need right now.
All right. Okay. Once again, reminding that we just spent a whole segment talking about nickel corner.
Quandre Diggs is out, man.
You could do better than Quandre Diggs, too.
That's insane. That is true.
Let's go mailbag. Time. Once again, taking your questions at AskPOD, the hashtag on Twitter, and of course in the AskPOD posts when we put them up on Monday. I think the next one will be coming on Sunday because we will be playing on Saturday, so let's kind of refinagle things. The website was down and now it is finally back up, but all the questions I have queued up here are from Twitter to start us out, so let's get going, shall we? Douglas Howe at DLions99, would you sign Ziggy to a long-term deal?
Yes. Yes, I would sign Ziggy to a long-term deal. I mean, let's just ignore the fact that he was dealing with a high ankle sprain almost the entire season. And ever since he's finally, you know, gotten off of that a little bit, he's been much more productive. Ziggy is probably one of the top three players on the defense. Yes, he deserves a contract extension. Yes, he deserves money. How much money he deserves, I'm not sure, but I definitely would have to say that this past year has definitely cost him some money.
I mean, I'm fine with like a 3-4 year deal. Just kind of mid-level pay grade, hopefully. I mean, I just spent 2 minutes talking about the importance of a pass rusher, and I'm not ready to bury Ziggy forever. He's even though he is getting up there in age. I think he's, 29, 30 maybe? But I don't know. I just think he's definitely an above average player, and you don't want to let something like that go when his NFL career is still very young.
Ziggy's 27 and doesn't turn. Yeah, he turns 28 this year. So I totally agree. Probably like a 3-4 year deal, and I think that makes sense. He's still going to be productive.
From that question to another question about a defensive player who is maybe not thrilled this year. It's your favorite question here, Jeremy, from Kyle Decker at Shonuff KD. Levy is clearly not as good as he was before his injuries. Do you think he'll get closer to his old form, or is this him? If this is him now, do you think they have to cut him? That last part, I'm sorry, get out of here with cutting him. But
yeah.
Everything else, Jeremy, please.
Well, no, that's a fair question about where DeAndre Levy's future lies with this organization. I mean, there's really no point in cutting him because he only saves you like $1.1 million and costs you $7 million. So I don't think the Lions are thinking about replacing him next year. That being said, they might draft a young guy who would kind of take the DeAndre Levy path of kind of waiting in the wings for a couple of years and then potentially taking over the middle of that defense. But yeah, I don't think Levy is playing very well right now. I'll be the first to admit it. The guy who's been touting Levy this entire time and trying to get him, you know, I've been very excited about him coming back, and it has been a disappointment. He has only been back for, what, 3 games, and he's missed a lot of time, so I'm hoping that this is just kind of the process of taking the rust off, but it's hard to know. I'm hoping that maybe a full off season of practicing, being healthy, if he can do that, maybe he comes into next year, looks a lot more like his 2014 self, but I just can't tell you at this point with any confidence either way.
All right, we got the website back up, so let's see here. Tingling asks, is Caldwell a great head coach or the greatest head coach? And following up on that from the other spectrum, we have Harrington HOF saying, what are your thoughts on Kyle Shanahan?
Wow, that is literally opposite ends of the spectrum.
I think Ting... I don't know. Maybe Tingling's being ironic.
He is. He's got to be, right?
Yeah. Just... guys, how often do you have a Lions head coach with a winning... I can't do this. I'm sorry. We're going to stay mad at Caldwell no matter what.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, I'm not saying firing Caldwell is off the board because it isn't, because we have a fairly new GM.
We have
a fairly new GM. But here's the thing. I'm just not going to talk about it until it happens. If Caldwell gets fired, then let's start talking about replacement guys. Right now, the Lions are in the playoffs. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just not.
Well, to kind of piggyback onto this and kind of a mini rant I had, and with one other question from here, I'm not going to name this person because I don't want to put them on blast, but he asked on Twitter, why are we all dumb enough to keep supporting this team?
Put him, like, on blast. Look, get yourself blocked. Come on.
It's a guy with like 3 followers. That's not a big target. I need someone with like 5-digit followers to block
me. That's not Chris's white whale, man.
No, it's not. No. I need more like weirdos who just are constantly on Xanax on Twitter.
Yeah,
like,
there you go.
To block me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, look, okay, I kind of had this rant kind of on Facebook last night. Although I was more mad because someone tried to pull the, you know, I've been a fan of this team for 30 years and I'm sick and I'm thinking about finally not supporting it. And I was mad at that person because I don't like people pulling both. I'm thinking about quitting and I've been a long diehard fan. You can't do both. You can't pull both on me because I see right through you. You're trying to be cynical about how long your suffering's been, and it's stupid. You're either cynical about quitting or you're cynical about being a diehard fan. Because if you're a diehard fan, you wouldn't be thinking about quitting. You're being cynical on one or the other, and or both, and I don't care about it. But in the case of this, in the case of people who are like calling for the coach to be fired, or the people talking about, well, I'm so dumb supporting this team, or, you know, constantly saying like this team needs to draft so-and-so, I think this gets lost in the weeds, especially because we are, and especially sometimes, maybe not for the people who write at Pride of Detroit, but I think when like we are like branded as a Lion, like, you know, this is on our Twitter, a Detroit Lions blog by Lions fans for Lions fans. And I think about this a lot, in that far often than not, a lot of sports fan discussion is talking about what I want to happen, what we want to happen, what we want to see happen, which is an okay conversation to have, but far often than not, it strains against the paradox is that you have no say. You have no power in what happens with the organization. You don't. Your jersey sales, the tickets you buy, you canceling your season ticket, there's going to be someone right behind you to buy another season ticket. you can look at a situation like in, say, I know, what was it, in England a couple of years ago, a bunch of fans walked out on a soccer game, on a soccer match, to protest rising ticket prices, and they got it to reverse. But that requires a level of organization that just does not exist in North American sports. And it's the problem of people not realizing, like, you have no power in any of this. You're along for the ride. So if you're enjoying the ride of being a fan, win or lose, stick around. Otherwise, please just shut the fuck up. Get out of the way. Like, I'm done with fans thinking like it's like, you know, well, I'm going to yell until, like, it's the bad customer. It's, I want to see the manager. It's, I'm the customer. You have to do what I say. Guess what? No, they don't. You have no say who gets to be the head coach. You have no say who gets to be the first round draft pick. You have no say who they get in free agency. And I'm sorry if I am telling you Santa doesn't exist, but you have no say, no power. And screaming at us, of all people, isn't going to get you anything either.
Sounds like you just had a mini rant corner.
And Jeremy takes a lot of abuse.
I do, but you're telling people to yell at reporters right now, so you're sending mixed messages.
No. I'm saying to troll people. I am. I am a mixed creature, so. Should probably take that. I'm sorry, we had a little mini rage corner there, so. By the way, that person who asked about Ziggy for a long-term deal also said Ziggy for girly.
What?
Is it a trade?
Yeah. Let's just move on to questions that make sense.
Okay.
Ryan from Rail, I can't read his handle. Which college, okay, actually, here, it's a two-parter again. I've been really getting messed up by these two-parter tweets. UK Lions fan here. My TV package doesn't let me watch any NFL game, but I seem to have access to so much college football. Which college football team should I start backing?
Row the boat.
You want a Power 5 team though, Billy?
I don't know.
Follow the University of Michigan.
There you go.
I mean, Michigan is in a good place now, and you will have a lot of overlap with other Lions fans.
They're the leaders and the best.
Yeah.
If you like that in your life, that's who you should pick.
If you want to see fan bases, I will say this out of personal experience, if you want to see fan bases who are ravenous, crazy, and will not hesitate to stab people, go with a team in the SEC. Or Florida State.
Just anyone. Pick one out of a hat.
Yeah, just any team in the South. ACC. Like, I'm sure Clemson fans and Florida State fans, they're just as red. They're basically SEC, too. But, like, Georgia, Alabama. You don't want to go Alabama. I'll hate you if you go Alabama. Auburn. Auburn would be a really fun one to pick. Auburn people are kind of crazy. They're kind of a cult. They are, War damn Eagle.
Not going to stand up for State over there, huh? Just going to play your Overwatch?
You know, I'm playing Titanfall, actually. No, I mean, if you're going to be a fan of any football team, why not be a fan of the team that has a player with the name Taco that the Lions could draft? So
there you go.
Be a Michigan fan. Why not?
Michigan and Auburn. Kids. Michigan and Auburn. Those are our
War Eagle.
War Eagle and go blue. All right. We have a lot of questions here. I see Ryan Quattro. How should the Lions approach free agency? Questions about the draft.
They should approach it tentatively because they have a Super Bowl to win first.
Yes, they should approach it when the time comes. We got a long 7 months ahead of us, guys. We'll have plenty of time to talk about free agency.
Bill Barnwell had a great tweet though, real quick. He said something about yesterday that Browns and Steelers game went to overtime. He's like, a lot of people not really interested in Browns and Steelers right now, but in 7 months you'll be begging for it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just, I mean, I'm usually good with looking ahead to like draft and free agency stuff, but this year, though, man, like, I don't want to even think about it.
You don't want to think about a lot of things, Chris. The only thing you want to think about is getting blocked.
I want to be ignorant. All right. J-Wings 40, why do you think the Lions cannot seem to make the right halftime adjustments during halftime?
Because they just need to execute the same way that they do during the first half.
Okay.
Signed. No, hold on. Let me attribute that to the person who said it, Jim Caldwell. I don't know. It's a really good question, and I wish I had the answer to it, but I don't know why they aren't able to make adjustments. Jeremy, do you have an answer?
I don't. I mean, I think I alluded to it a little bit earlier in the show. I think maybe this isn't a case of necessarily the Lions failing to adjust as it is the better team just kind of catching up with them. I mean, yeah, I look at it two ways, and I'm not sure which one is more true. It's either the Lions are coming into the game with a really good game plan that eventually wears out, or the Lions aren't adjusting like people are saying in the second half, and you know, just falling apart. There's coaching issues. There's, you know, not enough is happening with looking at tape and stills at in the locker room. I don't know. I'm not there. It's hard to say. I don't think the Lions are doing anything that much differently schematically in second halves, which might be the problem. I don't know.
Next question here from Evan, Big Slick McDick. What jerseys would be made better by having the player's first name on the back rather than the last name? What would I? You know what? If we talk, if Ansa Ezekiel is actually probably. I mean, Ansa's no. pretty good already, but I like the idea of just a guy that just says it's Ezekiel.
Nope, nicknames. I want Ziggy on the back of it. I want to go full XFL. I want a he hate me in the league. Like, I mean, imagine what, like, Darius Slays would be. Like, it would probably just be, like, pretty motherfucker or something like that. Like,
oh, hold up, but we don't even need to go nickname on this one. Golden.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a
pretty. There you go.
I kind of like the way that Tate the Third looks, though.
Yeah, it does, yeah. He's got it looking pretty good already.
Like, the only thing that's missing is Esquire. Shout out to Andrew Cotto, Esquire.
Tate the Third Senior, Esquire. All right, I have a really good one, actually, from Ryan's feed here. Merry Murder Fuck, Cookies, Brownies, and Pie. I'm not sure this is what you're supposed to use the MMF for,
is it supposed to be MFK?
Yeah, MFK or MKF, whichever. Yeah, kill. Yeah. But either way.
Can I just fuck all three?
Okay, Jeremy, the dessert fucker, has logged on. If murder means doing away with one of these, then I'd probably do it with cookies.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of cookies.
Well, they're so hit and miss, right? Like, they have to be freshly baked, or it's just like, yes. Whatever.
Right, yeah.
And like, certain types of cookies. Like, I am a weird one who likes, like, oatmeal cookies. But
I like oatmeal cookies.
Yeah, but they're not for everyone.
Right? No, they really aren't, but they're so much better, too, when they're fresh.
Yes, absolutely. Like, I mean, the only real cookie I can really say universal is, like, chocolate chip. Like, granted, pies are kind of that same way, too, but I think you get a nice variety with pies. I'd keep it around. I'd probably say murder cookies, Mary pie, fuck brownies.
I'm the exact same order, if we're being honest, because pies are good.
Pies are steady. Pies are steady.
They're steady. They're good. Like, they don't get you really excited like brownies do, because hot, Jesus sticky, Christ. Warm brownies. This is the best podcast we've ever done.
Jeremy is being outed as a foodie right now. All right, look, I totally, completely, 100% agree with you guys. I'm going to kill cookies. I'm going to marry pies for the steady sense of stability that you get with
different
them.
Things every day too,
right? But it's not really a monogamous relationship. Like, you're kind of, it's like a polygamous relationship, because you're talking about all these different kind of pies that you're with each and every night, running around the town doing all this shit with pies and stuff. But yeah, brownies,
we're having a Mormon family.
I would brownies are just they're good for a one night stand, but then you feel awful in the morning.
Oh, wow. This was a good note to have on our podcast.
Shut it down.
This definitely gets the explicit rating.
Shut it down.
Well, here we got one more question here from Red Ruckus 81. Does anyone on the staff even remember the lyrics to Africa at this point?
Goddamn right. We're in the playoffs. I listened to it all yesterday.
Play it.
Woo!
echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you.
Stop deep throating all those brownies.
I just thought about fucking brownies and I got so excited.
Oh, God.
I'm so
Chris,
glad that
Chris,
recorded.
You called Jeremy a dessert fucker. I kind of just lost it.
If you have any intention of censoring this episode, you are going to be working late tonight, my friend.